Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
That's 603-283-6160. In the studio here tonight, you've got Ian,
Matt, and Joe.
Of course, you can bring up anything. That is the point of the program. Matt, you, you're happy today about somebody dying, which
well,
is unusual.
Well, come on now. I don't know if I pushed that. Well, maybe.
What's going on? Who died and why does it matter?
There's good people out there in the world, and then there's people who view goodness in other ways.
Okay.
And some of them like to band together and do extremely powerful things that hurt this little guy, even though they say that they're trying to help the little guy. Today, Richard Trumka, the president, now former president of the AFL-CIO, has succumbed to a heart attack at the age of 72.
The AFL-CIO being a major union.
That is basically right? The union that unionizes all of the unions.
Is that right? Okay. I didn't even know what they were.
That's a confederacy of the unions and a confederacy of the industries that hire the unions together.
So this is like the worst of the worst.
It is the king daddy of all commies in America.
Well, now, you don't have to be a communist to think a union's a good idea.
Yeah, but they tend to vote that way.
Mm-hmm. They do.
It's very much, you know, unionizing in America has always been, has parroted a lot of the commie slogans for since day one, you know, workers of the world unite type of thing. And, mm-hmm. You know, so it's clear where they go, where they land, and it's clear how they vote. That what they. So even if you're part of a union, it doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with the political the political standpoints of the union, but right. Everybody that does belong to your union does pay into the unions, and well, those unions then use that money to, you know, lobby the way they want things to go and things like that.
Yeah, so as I understand it, unions, you know, they came about for good reasons, mm-hmm. where there were some bad working environments, mm-hmm. and they said, well, we're going to band together and, you know, become a stronger negotiating tactic to get
that.
A better circumstance. But then these people like this guy that you're talking about, mm-hmm. they figured, oh, this is a way that we can actually get paid without having to really do much of anything.
Pretty much,
so
yeah.
They created this administrative structure and started instituting fees and all that. And, of course, all these fees go to pay the mm-hmm. union bureaucracy, essentially. And what do you know? They lobby for more benefits that don't so much accrue to the members of the union as they do to the union itself, right?
They essentially just grease the gears of corruption,
yeah.
And it makes it look like they're getting something out of it after their dues are paid and all that.
Yeah, it's nothing. I love the idea of collective bargaining. I have no problem with unions as far as unions go, unionizing goes, we'll say. Collective bargaining's great. That's
but the
how
government gives them extra powers in certain
all the time,
circumstances.
All the time.
Like to force, for instance,
the
people,
government just doesn't give it to them. They're constantly
They're
demanding it constantly of government.
Well, like one example would be, and I know there's a name for this. I don't know what offhand it is, but where if a company or a group of workers, they want to form a union, they then force everybody else to join the union.
Yeah.
And you don't get a choice.
It's compulsory. Right. And now,
you could quit the job, but if you want to keep working at that place,
right.
you have to join the union.
You have to pay into it. Where I come from in New York, we're, strangely, as much of a police state New York is, it's also a right-to-work state.
Okay, now define what that is.
So right-to-work means you don't have to join a union if you don't want to.
So if a union is formed where you work, you can opt out.
Correct.
Yep. Like the post office has that option. And they usually shun upon the other workers if they're not part of the union.
Yeah, the union people shun the non-unions.
That's right.
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire, interestingly, is not a right-to-work state. But
Not yet. I thought it.
I don't think so. Last I knew, there was another bill coming up, and the AFL-CIO was freaking
they're
out about
opposing it.
Beating the drum about, you know, we need to oppose this right-to-work thing. You know, if you're not going to pay us, then you shouldn't have the right to have a job at this, you know, facility.
Okay, so it looks like the Senate passed the right to work bill, but the House buried it.
Oh, okay. So, well, there it goes. Maybe they got their hooks in with someone.
It didn't work out this time around.
The first union in America, the International Typographical Union, they formed so that they couldn't make things up. So they had a... They basically banded together, and now they make up whatever they want.
Who
so
are they? The
essentially, the news union.
Oh, okay.
The printing press and those who produce the news.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to hold each other accountable to the truth?
I would hope so.
Where'd those guys go?
Well, essentially, they do, right? People fact check things that, you know, when things are reported. Right? So they essentially hold themselves accountable when someone produces something. Almost like scientists producing a theory and people fact check it and make sure it's correct, right?
Yeah, it's peer review.
Same thing. Yeah.
Do they still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, don't you? So don't you look up where your news comes from and where the facts are coming from?
Yeah, but it's always some person I've never heard of before, and it's probably almost always totally spurious.
True.
The key House roll call among several votes was 199 to 175 against a motion that the bill ought to pass. So this is the right to work bill this year.
Is it 199 to 175?
Yeah, 199 to 175. All the Democrats voted against the bill, and they were joined by 20 members of the Republican majority who did not support the position of Republican leadership. The House then indefinitely postponed the bill at that point. So it is, I don't know if it's going to sit on the table until another point next year or something like that, but as of right now, it's sounds like it's a pretty contentious issue.
Yeah, right to work's always been such a huge deal for them, and I don't understand why why they hang on to it in New Hampshire. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, in New York, we don't have it. Everything's fine. Nobody's, you know, everybody's well paid. There are unions in New York. You can join them. There are companies in New York that say if a union person ever sets foot in this place and speaks highly of a union, I will lock the doors on this place and move to Jamaica. So, I mean, I've heard that before.
According to the story here, it was the last bill heard on the day of the vote, and by that time, only 374 of the 396 House members were participating at that point. So some people had left, 16 excused absences, so maybe it would have gone differently if everybody had been in attendance, and maybe it will go differently if we can get some more free staters elected to the state house. Because right now it is, you know, even though there are a few dozen, from what I understand, actual, like, Free State Project participants who are state representatives, it's still a pretty close vote in there. I mean, it's, you know, it's not 50-50, but it's darn close.
It's close.
You know, the Democrats,
it's closer than it's ever been.
Yeah, there's only a few Democrats lower than the number of Republicans in there, and the Free Staters tend to run as Republicans. So if in this case 20 Republicans break rank and they go over to join the Democrats, they can pass whatever they want.
I find it interesting. You can appeal to Republicans and you can get them to do freedom-oriented things that they like, that right-leaning people would like, you know, gun laws and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost impossible to appeal to the Democrats and get them to do freedom-centric things that they would, even if it's something that they would like. And that makes no sense to me. They are so, Democrats in New Hampshire are so petrified of breaking ranks with their...
The party leadership.
It's a little disconcerting and strange, the Democrats in New Hampshire. They scare me a little bit.
Well, I mean, the Republicans are like that, too, from what I understand. They, you know, they've got their whips or whatever they call them, trying to get people to go along with what the party wants them to do. And they have their political ways of trying to enforce that, too. So I don't know if the Democrats are probably worse at it than the Republicans. They're you know, more enforcing of these sorts of things.
I know it's very hard to join the Democrat Party in New Hampshire if you want to just enter the Democrat Party and start attending meetings and things like that. They are extremely, extremely particular about who runs for offices.
They're probably deathly afraid they're being secretly infiltrated by Free Staters.
That could be.
Well, look at the Majority Whip in the Republican Party. Isn't he a Free Stater?
I don't know if he's a whip. I think his term is the...
Majority leader.
Majority leader, yeah, in that case. Okay. I don't know if there's the whip is a different...
I thought that was the same
seat.
Thing.
It might be. I'm not sure. And in which case, he is the second most influential Republican by rank.
Yeah, I actually kept pace with him on the highway the other day for about 15 miles.
Oh, really?
So if he's listening, hey, I was driving next to you. There's, sorry, there's this plate.
603-283-6160 is our number here. You know, we definitely need more liberty-loving people to migrate here to New Hampshire and get active so we can see more freedom in our lifetime. And you know what? If you're thinking about it, you ought to get on it before they make it illegal for you to leave.
Yeah.
Wherever it is that you are.
That's crazy.
That's likely coming soon.
Nuts.
With whatever the next COVID crackdown. Of course, we already have New York requiring vaccinations now to go and do things. More come up.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer. It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer. Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah!
with here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves coming up here tonight. Venezuela. They are going to be slashing some more zeros off of their currency, and we will tell you how many zeros coming up here in just a moment. Last time it was five.
Wait.
We'll get into it here, but I do want to get an update on River Dave first, because we talked about River Dave last week on this very program. Can you recap for our listeners maybe just tuning in, who is River Dave?
Well, River Dave is a man that was living on a river on someone else's property for 26 years. And this is on the Merrimack River?
With permission from the previous property owner,
yes.
Who unfortunately didn't bother to write it in the deed when he sold the property to somebody else, and that somebody else took issue with River Dave when the government came by and said, hey, we noticed this other house on your property, and we're going to go ahead and increase your property taxes by X. Because you got more houses on it than we thought you did.
Bigger footprint.
And so, therefore, you owe us. And so, I mean, I can understand why the person would be upset, but it's ultimately the government that even brought this to their attention. Otherwise, River Dave would have been completely, you know, the owner would have been unawares of this guy's presence.
From what I can tell, he's a nice guy. Everyone goes by is nice. But, you know, I wish that the new property owners at least talked with them.
Yeah, nobody said River Dave is burning the property without permission or, you know, polluting it or anything like that.
Right.
He's just there.
Yep. Well, now his house is gone, and they burned it down, or someone did. But they are investigating now on who did that.
You know, I'm sure they're going to investigate real hard.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
They're going to say that, well, this place is ramshackle, and he had an electrical fire. After 27 years of not having an electrical fire.
Well, we should point out that River Dave was put in a jail cell back in mid-July because he wouldn't follow a judge's demand that he stay out of his own home.
Right.
And so because he wouldn't stay away from his own, what he considers to be his home, that he built with his own two hands, that they then put him in on contempt of court, which, of course, contempt jailings can go on for months with no accountability for the judge whatsoever. And the judge told him, look, if you agree to do what I say, I'll let you out.
Well, the keys are in his hands,
That's what he said.
Yeah, right. Like, the guy doesn't have a chance.
What a dirtball thing to say.
Yeah.
Judges do this crap all the time where they say, oh, you're doing this to yourself, even though...
Stop punching yourself.
Yeah.
Stop punching yourself.
They're the ones who are doing this to this man.
They're awful.
And so the terms of his jailing were that he was going to stay behind bars until his house was destroyed. Until he either agreed to obey the judge's order or until the house was destroyed.
And I guess the property owners did plan on destroying his home.
They did, yeah.
But I'm not saying it was them, but his house did burn down.
Yeah, why wouldn't it have been them? I mean, the attorney of one of the property owners, one of their attorneys, spoke publicly and said that the sons of the property owner were planning to go out there and dismantle the place. Maybe they just figured it'd be easier to set it on fire.
I think there's rules about that, though. To set something on fire is arson, even if it's yours.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Well, the Canterbury Fire Chief, Michael Gamachi, called in arson investigators.
Hmm.
So, to go check it out and see if anything happened. If it was actually an arson-related thing.
If you're going to take something down, you're supposed to take it down with, like, wrecking bars and pickup trucks, not burn it into the ground.
Well, I guess the concern would be it could have caught a forest fire or whatever, right?
Especially considering where the place is. It's
in the middle of the woods.
Right in the middle of some thick, dense woods.
Also seeing that, you know, I'm not saying it was, you know, River Dave's fault, but, you know, he lived there. He never even left the property. So maybe there was things that were there that needed to be tended to, and you pulled him away from that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And now he's out with nowhere to go. He has no home to go to.
Yeah. They just create another homeless person.
Right. Here you go. You're 81 years old.
If I had the money, I would build that guy a little shack on my property somewhere and just say, there you go, dude, just live there. I'll scrape you off the ground when you're done.
You could just give him a piece of land. He'd probably build his own shack right up again.
He's 81 years old. The problem is he's really old, 81, 83, whatever he is. He's old.
And he's been there for 25-plus years. It's an incredible story. Sad stuff. I mean, as we discussed in detail last week, it does bring up the question of property rights and homesteading and all that. Some people would say, well, you know, he shouldn't have done that. Others would say, well, it was the property owner who had told him he could be there that screwed up by not putting him into the deed. Maybe he should have asked for that to be the case. I mean, so there could be some miscommunications here, but ultimately it's really the government that deserves the blame for sparking this controversy in the first place by coming and threatening the current property owner and saying, you have to pay us more.
I guess one of his friends is urging people not to go to his GoFundMes that supposedly are up.
Why? Are they
fraudulent?
Oh, yeah. People do that. Yeah. You know, if there's somebody who's in trouble, the scam artist will create a GoFundMe and spread the link around. And even though, you know, whoever's running it doesn't even have a connection to Dave.
But there is an online petition if you guys want to support him.
And what does that do?
It just begs. It begs the
for
government
what,
to take care of him, I guess. I mean, I hope you know, this guy gets some retribution to the damages that they've done to him. And hopefully he can, you know, find a home that he can retire in, the one that he had planned, you know, something similar.
Well, I mean, the last thing I want is for the government to take care of him, because then that's just taxpayers who are doing it. I mean, ultimately, this guy was taking care of himself.
Yeah, he didn't need taxpayers, and I'm sure he probably wouldn't want taxpayers to be doing that.
I'm sure a lot of people were concerned about an 81-year-old man living out in the middle of nowhere, but he didn't seem concerned.
He seemed great with it.
You know, I mean,
honeybees and gardens and...
If he just goes over and crawls off and dies like any other kind of beast in the wild, then that's the end of River Dave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the life he chose for himself.
That seems like the life he wanted for himself.
Right.
But now that's been taken from
him. I mean, he did have a cell phone, but how are you going to call in a 911, you know, I'm having a heart attack. Where are you? Well, we're down by the river. You go up a path after you canoe out to...
You know, people like River Dave also, I mean, they're around, and usually people know where they live and stuff.
No, yeah, so he had friends.
You know, he's 81 years old. He's been there for 27 years or
whatever.
Somebody's
going to check on him.
Somebody's going to know where
he is. But it won't be as often. I mean, look, he probably doesn't have visitors as often as, you know, an old lady with neighbors living right
next door. No, as many as the kayaks come down the river. That's...
Right.
The people he runs into.
Yeah. And if he dies in the wintertime, there ain't nobody coming down the river at that time.
Right.
So,
unless it's on a snowmobile.
Probably has very few visitors during that time of year. I mean, that's hibernation time for somebody like that. 603-283-6160 is the number here. What do you want to talk about? The latest on River Dave, who I'm curious to know what he does next. I imagine, you know, he's going to keep it quiet if he moves himself onto somebody else's property or whatever. You know, I don't know how much money he's got. I mean, he presumably has been living off of savings for all of these years.
He probably hasn't spent a whole lot of money in the last, so...
He's not paying rent.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he finds his two cats. He had two cats and chickens.
Honeybees, they must have killed all of his bees.
Mm.
That's awful. 603-283-6160. What's going on in Venezuela with the latest refactoring? I don't know what the right term is here. The slashing and burning, the relaunching of the Bolivar, the scamming continues, and it's going to get worse. We'll tell you about it and why it matters. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Congressional Budget Office released an analysis of the Senate's bipartisan infrastructure bill on Thursday. They found that the measure would increase the federal deficit by $256 billion over a 10-year period. Senate Democrats are also working on a $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation human infrastructure package, and Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, assures us that that reconciliation package won't have any support from Republicans.
If our colleagues want to ram through yet another reckless taxing and spending spree without our input, if they want all this spending and debt to be their signature legacy, they should leap at the chance to own every bit of it.
Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing that the Department of Justice is looking into policing issues in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in no rush to investigate the origins of COVID-19.
The House GOP report on the origins of COVID-19 in Wuhan, China, has evidence the virus was impacting the area in September of 2019. And China failed to abide by a 24-hour mandatory reporting regulation for months. Texas Representative Republican Michael McCaul tells Newsmax, American lawmakers are hindering our efforts to get to the truth.
Very disappointing. You know, I chaired the China task force. They were going to join us, and then Pelosi at the last minute called it off, saying it was a diversion.
On Wednesday, 616 Americans nationwide died from COVID-19. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The nation's trade deficit widened more than expected to a new record in June. The deficit grew $75 billion in June, up from $71 billion in May. Imports jumping 2.1% to an all-time high. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join in here, 603-283-6160. We are going to talk about hyperinflation. No, it's not happening here yet.
Or is it?
No, it's not happening here yet. No, the dollar is, you know, all things considered, even though they apparently printed, like, I don't know, some people say 20, 30, 40% of all the dollars that have ever existed in just the year 2020. So that aside, I mean, there's definitely inflation going on in the United States. It's not as bad as it is down in Venezuela. And you had asked a question earlier when I kind of teased this, Matt, about what I was talking about. You didn't sound very familiar at all with the Venezuelan Bolivar.
Are they just taking zeros off of the end of, like, the trillion-dollar note or something like that?
Yeah, so, well, they don't have a trillion-dollar note, but they are going to be slashing zeros off of their currency, and it is expected to happen later this year. October 1st is when this is going to occur. They are going to knock, not five, six zeros. So last time they knocked five zeros off, which was in 2018, so just barely 3 years ago at this point, they knocked five zeros off of their currency. They, you know, redenominated, I guess, is the technical term for it. and now they're going to knock six zeros off. So a million bolivars will become one bolivar.
Okay, so what's one bolivar going to be worth in dollar terms?
Probably not that much.
0000008.
Because right now, if you go to dollartoday.com, it's the most useful site when it comes to figuring out what the Venezuelan bolivar is worth, because they ask people in the black market in Venezuela, all right, what is $1 trading for today? And they update it every single day. So you have some clue of what this thing is actually worth, because in Venezuela, they have an official exchange rate. So Venezuelan government says one Venezuelan bolivar, which they call the Bolivar Soberano, which stands for Sovereign Bolivar. That's what the latest iteration is called. Before that, it was the Bolivar Fuerte, and before that, it was the Bolivar. So I don't know what they're going to call the fourth edition of the bolivar. I don't think they've announced that yet. But so they're currently on the Bolivar Soberano. And when it came out in 2018, because we've been watching this for years on Free Talk Live, so we knew when they were doing the knocking the five zeros off. We weren't paying attention when they knocked the three zeros off, which was several years ago. I don't remember what year that was, but it was a ways back. But we were paying attention last year when they did this, and at the time, I don't remember what the old Bolivar Fuerte exchange rate was at the time, but I think actually Wikipedia's got it here.
I'm sure they've announced this, right? That they're going to do it. This must be causing all kinds of turmoil right now.
I suspect that it is. Okay, so thankfully the folks over at Wikipedia were paying attention to the Dollar Today numbers. When the refactoring happened, or the redenomination happened in August of 2018, you could trade one U.S. dollar in the black market and get somewhere around, let's say, 4 to 5, 6 million bolivar. And then they knocked five zeros off of the end of their currency. And it went down to then $1 would get you about 70 or 80 bolivar soberano. Now today, according to dollartoday.com, in just 3 years from when they did this, one U.S. dollar will get you over 4 million bolivar.
Wow.
So it went from roughly 70 to 1 to 4 million to 1.
Well, it's not even listed on the Google currency converter. You can't look up. Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash are both on there.
That's funny.
Venezuelan bolivar is not on there.
Wow. So here's the news from GMANetwork.com, and this is on AP as well. There's not a lot of details yet, but they are announcing they're going to slash six zeros off of the inflated, battered currency, the bolivar, to make it easier to use, the central bank said Thursday. See, one of the problems is when the inflation happens like it happens over in Venezuela, when hyperinflation is occurring, and a product that would cost you the equivalent of, you know, $10 U.S. dollar is 40 million bolivar, they start to run out of zeros on the machines, right? Like your credit card transaction, the little swiper machine where whoever it is you're checking out from rings up your transaction. The credit card companies didn't design that with the idea that the average transaction was going to be 40 million, with
billions and trillions,
a ton of zeros at the end of it. You know, they figured the average transaction was going to be $40 or, 40 bolivar or whatever.
I'm trying to fathom this a little bit. So if you have bills that are millions, are you going to cross out? They don't have it.
I don't think so. But I think that 500,000 is the highest.
I see. Yeah, I guess they're going to have to cross out these zeros and add decimal points.
No, you will have to exchange.
So they're making a whole new currency.
Correct.
Those people have an incredible opportunity in front of them right now, and they can keep ramming their head into the wall over and over again with these idiot politicians and this government money, or they can just switch to a universally acceptable form of value transfer in the form of, like, Bitcoin Cash or Monero.
Well, and Caracas, which is the capital city in Venezuela, is one of the biggest, as far as crypto accepting businesses on the planet.
It sounds like some people are. That's good. They're realizing, we can do that here. This government money is not valuable, and it's not important. You don't have to use that. Use something else.
But because it's like the government money, and they probably collect taxes in some sort of way, and that's the only currency that the government accepts, or guess what? You're going to have your house broken down and people with arms breaking down your doors.
You know, I think that if enough people are doing it, I think they would make up stories about how bad they're being to people, even if they couldn't possibly be that bad to as many people as they'd like. After a while, you hit terminal mass, there's nothing they can do about it, genie's out of the bottle, not going back in, and it already is. With cryptocurrency, the genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back in. It is over for the powers that be in the way they've always known. And now they're lying to say they have more power than they actually do. And like with our situation, they're crashing. Desperate. They're desperate.
Well,
it was clear to me when they were interrogating me, these people were, they didn't really understand what was going on. They were being given orders, but I could hear through their voices the desperation of their bosses. There are people up near the top that understand the gravity of this for them, but they don't. The average Fed doesn't really get it.
They need some volunteer planes to go in to drop some 3D printed liberators. That's what I say.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
You mean in Venezuela?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's true because guns are prohibited from the average person in Venezuela. Right. Now, the government, of course, they've got guns.
Tons of them.
And sometimes they'll even arm, like, motorcycle gangs that are pro-government. So if you're on the right side, meaning the government side, you can get a gun.
On the upside, there's Central America, South America, Mexico. There's a lot of black market down there. You can get just about anything you want. Sadly, I was in Mexico. I was in East Luma Harris, so island off the coast of Cancun, on vacation a few months ago, right? One of our waiters at a restaurant we ate at was from Venezuela. Handsome kid, well-spoken, great English, super smart, real friendly. God, what a nice kid he was, I'll tell you. And when he said he's from Venezuela, actually my friend's girlfriend is Peruvian, so she knows all of the different accents, and she spotted him as a Venezuelan. And I said, you're from Venezuela? And he goes, yeah, yes, yes. And I said, I'm sorry to hear about what's going on there. And he immediately got really sullen. You could tell it's taken a toll on the average, like the regular people. He left Venezuela. He didn't want to leave Venezuela.
Smart move.
But he had to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
For him, it was like he had to go. He couldn't be at home anymore.
It's the smartest thing you could possibly do. I mean, because every other place,
fat.
Yeah, every other place outside of Venezuela is living large by comparison. I mean, I'm not going to tell you life is good in Honduras or anything like that, but, you know, Venezuela is terrible.
I think we gave that kid $200, and I remember his eyeballs just all falling out of his head.
I hope he went and bought some crypto.
I hope he did. Did he tell him all about it?
Did he tell him about the Free State Project and how we love liberty?
I didn't want to get his hopes up that high.
603-283-6160 is the number here. More about knocking six zeros off of the currency. You can share your thoughts here as well.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique
unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NobleLift lithium-ion-powered forklifts. With a NobleLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a five-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The number, if you want to join us here, it's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian,
Matt, and Joa.
Don't forget, check out Bitcoin.com to get on the train here. Get started on learning about cryptocurrency. It's not going away. It's just going to likely get more and more popular over time. It's going to become more relevant to people's lives, so
know your stuff a little bit about it at least. Get a wallet, try it out, get a little bit.
Get the basics. Go over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page, and you'll find lots of valuable information there. You can spend as much or as little time on it as you want, as little as three minutes to watch one of the introductory videos. But you may find yourself interested in watching a little bit more than that, because it is a fascinating topic, and it is one that is making huge impacts on the way we eventually, I think, it's going to make a huge impact on the way we live our lives. Right now, it's making a huge impact on the financial world, shaking things up, and the people in government, they don't like it.
They don't like it.
Venezuela could save you guys. You never know.
Well, it absolutely can, I think. I mean, look, there's no way to guarantee that the price of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies is going to keep going up, so we can't make any promises. But if you look at the last 12 years, it looks pretty good.
Uh-huh. And you can check out, look at what they've done to Fluffy Pony this week. I don't know if Free Talk Live's covered this yet, but Fluffy Pony was
kind of...
Yeah, Fluffy Pony is...
He's one of the Monero programmers. Yeah. I believe he retired from that like a year ago, but he got arrested this week.
Yeah. Yep, and I'm not sure what he got arrested for, but they're saying it was
alleged fraud on a company in South Africa.
Oh.
So the U.S. government is doing the bidding of the South African government. They took him into custody. He's now facing a extradition.
It sounds pretty fishy to me. If it has nothing, it has nothing to do with cryptocurrency.
That's what they're saying.
But I don't believe anything they say, because they're a bunch of liars.
Yep, we're going to continue here with your calls and thoughts. Rob is on the line in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Rob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I have an account with TD Ameritrade, and there's this stock I've been watching. It's called BTSC. It's your Bitcoin Services Incorporated. And there was no activity for a little over a week, and I called them, and they said that the stocks that I had in the Bitcoin Services were taken right off of the stock exchange.
Mm.
Said no trades are being accepted on this security due to the securities registration being revoked. I called Ameritrade, and the guy told me, he said he cannot find any information about BTSC. Money still shows on, it still shows on there, but no trace of the company, no trade or activities, no info.
Now, were they delisted due to being too small an operation? That does happen. That's an SEC rule that would happen to any company. Companies get listed and delisted all the time. I'm just wondering if this particular situation was something else. Maybe they whitewashed it and got rid of it because they didn't like it.
Or maybe it's a buyer beware coin that... I'm not sure.
It's a stock, though.
It's legitimacy. That's more of a sign that anyone can just put anything up on the stock market.
Sure. When it's delisted, it'll go into what's called the pink sheets. So if you look in the pink sheets and find out, you know, it'll be an over the counter type thing at that point. It just won't be listed on, you know, NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange or anything like that.
So according to a website called StockWits.com, they have some information here about this stock. It looks like the last time it was updated was August 3rd. So it hasn't had an update in a couple of days, and at the time it was worth 2 cents. So, it sounds like what they did was they took this thing down, and so I guess that means you just SOL. If you had this stock, you're done for,
you can
right?
still trade it over the counter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not that it doesn't have value, it's just not listed anymore. These trading houses, you know, like the NASDAQ and things like that, they don't really have time to keep track of every single person that wants to start a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I guess I'm SOL out of 5,600 shares, huh?
Don't go, Sophie. You might, you know, you could sell it. You can find a buyer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this thing's worth like a cent.
Yeah, well,
what's that, 50 bucks?
$56.
Yeah.
If it's worth...
He did tell me, he said that, you know, maybe in a year or so, somebody might file a lawsuit or something like that, and then get it restarted. He said something to the fact that they didn't follow the rules or something like that, or, you know.
Which is easy to do, to not follow the rules when it comes to that, because there's a ton of rules. Yeah. And when you have such a teeny tiny little company and they're asking you to, you know, it's regulatory capture, basically. It's a form of regulatory capture where you really can't get in because you can't follow all the rules because there's so many of them. You need a herd of lawyers to just, you know, get the basics done, to say nothing of.
Some guy here says that he posted this on the 31st. He received a notice a few days ago from Schwab that due to some new regulatory rule, only closing positions will be allowed and cannot guarantee any liquidity after that date. He says, I put it in my calendar to see before then, but I guess the regulators caught up with them. Rarely play penny pink sheets and buyer beware, but still don't understand how the SEC allows any to exist. So it is gone, it sounds like, and, you know, whether you can figure out what to do with it now, I don't know. I don't know jack diddly about stocks, I'll tell you that. And I wish you the best, Rob. And what I would say, and thanks for the call tonight, is all of this stuff is risky. I mean, you know, you want to get into stocks, you want to get into crypto, it's all risky. You never know what's going to happen. You certainly don't want to put in more than you can afford to lose. But, boy, I am just so uninterested in stocks because they're so controlled, they're so regulated. You can't make a move in stocks without the government being aware of it. You sell, you know, you buy the thing, you sell the things. These stockbrokers are going to report you. They're going to report everything that you do to the government. You can't do this off the radar in any way, shape, or form, unlike cryptocurrency, which, and the government hates this about cryptocurrency. If you avoid doing things in sort of the on-the-system, on-the-books ways, which would be like going through an exchange or something like that to buy your crypto, if you buy it from another individual, then no one knows you have it except for that individual from whom you bought it.
Essentially, yes, yeah.
That's it. And then if no one knows you have that thing, then they don't know what you do with that thing at that point, especially if you put it into something like Monero, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it's completely off the radar unless they somehow, you know, figure out a way to crack Monero. But then again, if they never knew you had it in the first place, they certainly can't prove that you had it.
The government is now starting a rumor. There's some IP out there. Apparently there's a company that's saying that they found a way to trace Monero transactions. Put up
BS.
Or
prove
shut
it.
Up. Put up or shut up. Yeah. There is no way. I think this is absolutely like an FBI front company, if anything.
Absolutely. Or they're looking for FBI money.
Totally. Yeah.
They want a contract.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's total trash. And it's probably, you know, it could just be a straight up front company, or it could be, you know, they just want a grant or something. But it's called CipherTrace, I think, if I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of those tracing corporations. There's a few of those out there.
I don't think it's real. So,
I mean, they do have companies like that that can trace Bitcoin transaction fairly effectively, right?
Sure.
Because all those are public. Those transactions are on a public blockchain. Yeah. Anybody who, you know, has got the wherewithal and the technical know-how can follow that stuff.
It's not easy. It takes some technical know-how, like you said, but you
flip over and you look at try to look at Monero, you can't do it. You try to look at Pirate Chain, for instance, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
These are systems, and they're not the only privacy systems out there. They're probably two of the more remarkable ones as far as market cap and influence and popularity are concerned. But there's several other competitors out there. All of them are vying to be the top privacy.
Yeah, I would say that's great. If you're new into crypto, don't just go for the default Bitcoin. You don't know. You know, just do a little research. Just look at the exchanges for a while if you're doing crypto exchanging, and just know what you're getting into. And if the rule of thumb is, if you don't have the keys in your possession,
you don't have the keys.
You don't have the keys. You don't have it.
That's absolutely true. So if you want to weigh in on this discussion, whether it's crypto or, you know, I don't know much about stocks, and I'm so uninterested in them. I did download the Robinhood app like a year ago, just because there was all this buzz around it. Oh, it's, you know, supposed to make stocks so easy, and to its credit, it does. But of course, they also suck because they were part of the hedge fund. Like, they were partially owned by that hedge fund that tried to screw people over during the GameStop situation this year.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, Robinhood plays like they're for the little guy, but that's just market. It's just marketing.
And they're tainting the legacy of Robinhood, too.
Yeah, for sure. They totally are. So I just wanted to kind of fool around with it and see, you know, how easy was it. Because I remember years ago you had to, you know, pay fees, and I'm sure there's still companies that charge you fees to trade stocks. They don't do that, so that's kind of what attracted me to it. But it's like, okay, now I have these, you know, I only spent like a few hundred bucks on stocks, and I got one of Trupanion or whatever, right? It's gone up, but I don't want to sell the thing because then they're just going to report to the government. So it's just like, okay, I just wanted to see what this was like. The number here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Not like the government doesn't know I have them. They do. More coming up here in moments. It's free.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product
contract I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.